Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
First of all, I'd like to extend on behalf of the Monroe County Sheriff's Office and the residents of Monroe County our condolences to the family, friends, the Brockport Central School System, and all the loved ones of this family. This is a horrific crime that occurred last night, and we just like to let the folks know of our empathy and our compassion for those family members and others. I also want to start this press conference out by giving credit to our deputies that responded to one of the most horrific scenes you could see last night, and they responded with skill and precision, but they also responded with a sense of putting their own life at peril at certain times to try and protect people inside the scene. It was an extreme, horrific crime scene. Dangerous to the responding deputies when they arrived on scene. There was a lady armed with a knife, refusing to surrender that knife, and we'll go into more details of that in a second. As you, I believe you know, the subject in this matter is Hanin Mohib, a 36-year-old female from Sweden, and she's been charged with murder second. The victim was Abraham Cardenas. Abraham was 7 years old, from Sweden, and attended the Brockport Central School System. At 8:19 on Thursday, deputies responded to 5499 South Lake Road in the town of Sweden for a 911 call for a female suicidal armed with a knife. Upon arrival, deputies encountered many individuals inside the house. Deputy challenged Ms. Mohib to drop a knife that she had in her possession. She disregarded the deputy's orders, and deputies had to use several subject management techniques to take her into custody, which included pepper spray and the deployment of a taser. In addition to Ms. Mohib, inside the house was one adult male, one adult female, and one male 10 years old. Deputies went on to check the house further and made the grim discovery of Abraham. Abraham suffered a stab wound to his back and a severe stab wound to his neck, causing his head to become disengaged from his body. Deputies processed the scene throughout the night. We consulted with the Monroe County District Attorney's Office. We coordinated with the Brockport Central School System, and we conducted interviews of all the people involved. The results of those interviews are the charges that we mentioned earlier. As a recent history at that location, Monroe County Sheriff's Office did respond there twice. On March 5th of this year, 2018, deputies responded to the house for a female seeking assistance with a mental health difficulty. They made arrangements for her to be transported to the hospital, and she was transported to the hospital to seek assistance. On March 8th, deputies responded to a similar call for a female seeking assistance. They conducted a mental hygiene transport and transported to Rochester General Hospital, where our records show that she stayed from March 8th through March 26th of this year. I'm joined by Monroe County District Attorney Sandra Dorley and Brockport Superintendent Dr. Leslie Myers, who will say a few comments now, and then we'll open up the questions.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll just tell you the procedural history of the case. The defendant was arraigned this morning in Sweden Town Court, and the matter was set for a preliminary hearing, which will be occurring on April 11th, which is Wednesday. She's been held no bail, no release due to the nature of the charges. Murder in the first, second degree carries a maximum sentence of 25 years to life. In this case, we plan to present the case to a grand jury before the preliminary hearing date of April 11th, and the case will be handled by the head of our child abuse unit, Sarah Van Strydunk. Now, this is really, you know, a tragedy, and my heart goes out to the men and women of the Monroe County Sheriff's Office who had to respond to the scene and see this horrific crime. And we'll continue to keep you updated through the criminal procedure as it occurs. Thank you.
Abraham Cardenas was a first grader in the Brockport Central School District, specifically at Barkley Elementary School. He was incredibly vibrant. He was an engaged learner, was beloved by his teachers and our school community. He lit up a room anytime he entered it. So we too are extremely saddened at the death of Abraham. Our heartfelt condolences go out to the family, the friends, and the school community that is deeply impacted by this significant loss. Any loss of life is a loss to our entire community. We are incredibly grateful for law enforcement and the other first responders who came upon the scene very quickly and handled it professionally and respectfully. We right now have our trauma, illness, and grief team, which is our crisis team, is meeting while I speak. We began meeting this morning, and I left just to come and engage to update on the district and our progress relative to this situation. We will be providing support over the weekend, and most specifically, we will have our team, who is very specifically trained, to greet students and staff on Monday, when most of our staff and students will be coming back. But we are very impacted by this situation and very saddened to lose one of our school community members.
Emily, I'd just like to reiterate the reaction of the three deputies that responded last night, and our thoughts are with them too today as they try and process this information. Our peer support group is working with them as we speak, and that's the right thing to do. This is an active investigation. There's tons of work to be done yet. We will be researching this and investigating for the next few weeks, making sure we're presenting the best case possible for the district attorney's office. But at this time, whatever questions we can, but realize that this is an active investigation, still very young, if you will, and we probably can't answer a lot of questions.
Can you tell us about the defendant Abraham's mother?
I'm sorry?
Is the defendant Abraham's mother?
Yes. I'm sorry, cut you off.
I was going to ask the same question. You talked about two previous mental hygiene arrests out there. Can you tell us a little more about that process?
Sure. So the first one, it was a call by the suspect. Well, he actually called for us, called 911 seeking assistance. There was no suicidal tendencies. She just didn't feel mentally right at the time. Deputies responded and assisted her going to the hospital. So it wasn't a mental hygiene arrest, as we formally called them. And just so we know, we're now calling mental hygiene arrests mental hygiene transport. So what you heard in the past, and you hear a different term. The second call on the 8th, she was distributing showing the exact same symptoms. There was no really more additional information, but the fact that we had been there before, we decided to make that mental hygiene transport to officially document it and make sure that she was getting the care she needed. At which time she was taken to Rochester General, and she spent many days at Rochester General Hospital.
Do you know if the deputies who responded last night had been to that house previously?
I don't believe so. The deputy that executed the mental hygiene transport was not one of the initial officers on scene last night.
To the superintendent, were there any warning signs of abuse with Abraham Cardenas or his family at all?
This situation completely took us off guard. It's very surprising and shocking to us.
When you had relationships or the teachers with the family, did they notice anything off, or it was...
Again, this is a very shocking situation for us. We're taken aback.
Who originally called this in last night?
So we received at least three 911 phone calls. The phone calls did bounce off repeaters, it looks like, in Orleans County. Mm-hmm. So we, again, going back and researching those phone calls and who made them. We secured multiple cell phones from within the house. We believe the husband, or if you will, the father of the deceased placed calls, and also the adult female who was inside the house placed calls. So again, a long time to research that, especially if we backtrack into another county. But those are things we're naturally doing, and we secured the phones that were inside the house.
How many people total were in the house last night?
So you have the victim, you have the suspect, you have one adult male, which will be the husband of the suspect. You have the mother-in-law of the suspect, the husband's mom, and you have a 10-year-old child.
Would that be Abraham's sibling?
That's correct.
Okay.
Sheriff, those two instances in the 5th and the 8th, what was she upset about those days?
You know, I don't want to get too deep into it, but she realized she was having some difficulties. These were self-induced calls. And she realized that she was having some difficult time with her mental state, and she was looking for assistance on that.
So she called that in herself?
I believe she called both in herself.
Was CPS involved at any point in this?
We have made a referral and part of our investigation to see if there's been other referrals made to CPS, and if so, what was the result of those?
So sure.
We have made a referral.
You made a referral.
Yeah.
Apologize.
No problem.
One of the questions that the public often has is, why does something like this happen? Can you explain why this would have happened?
I'm sorry about the smile, because there's absolutely no explanation for it. There's the word evil comes to my mind. There's mental hygiene issues. There's just so many things. This is a mother that took her son's life, we believe, and with that, I have no explanation. We'll never be able to reconcile in our head. We see no motive as of last night in our preliminary investigation. We see no indicators why. Zero. We don't see any, and that's the frustrating part. So even if we had those, you know, and thus the it's still unexplainable, you know,
so
from a human standpoint.
As to why she attacked Abraham, I mean, with her expressing suicidal thoughts, is there any indication that he was trying to stop her from harming herself?
No, and again, we're still trying to research if she ever expressed suicidal thoughts. She expressed that she was having mental difficulties, and she was looking for help in the past contacts that we had with her. And we'll go way deeper in those. We'll work with Monroe County Department of Mental Health on those. We'll work with the hospitals and go back and research what occurred there. But absolutely no indicators last night that there was going to be an encounter. The family was surprised. Everybody was surprised by this. There was no warning signs that we could see of as of right now at this stage of our investigation.
We talk about the grief counselors in place for the school, but, I mean, what are you doing for your responding deputies?
So we have a peer support group, and we also have a contract with a local hospital that we do referrals to for professional treatment. But last night we had the peer support folks come in, and before the deputies went home, they made sure they sat and talked. And as we speak right now, they're probably together again, having those same conversations just to see how they can process this information.
You mentioned there was three other people in the home. Where were they in relation to the boy and the mother?
So not to get into too much details, but it looks like it all occurred at the same time on the first floor where the incident occurred, and also the other family members were in another room. Not in the same area, if you will, not in the same room where this occurred, but another room on the first floor at the same time. So the 10-year-old, the husband, and the mother-in-law.
Was this any kind of maybe religious ritual or anything?
No, someone else asked me that question. Absolutely zero indicators of anything religious. I have zero indicators of anything cultural. I've been asked that a couple times, so I'll just throw it. We have seen zero on that. There was really no indicators of that why, as you asked.
I have a question for the superintendent. Kids are on break this week, is that right?
Correct.
Are you concerned at all about students at that school seeing this news and not being, you talked about having grief counselors on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about the way parents can best support their kids before they come back to school?
Absolutely, that's what we're drawing all of those resources together. So we certainly will have in-person support available. We just haven't determined exactly when that will be, but we'll make that available. And then we will also provide resources on the website and make that available.
Are there any plans to just honor the life of Abraham in schools at all?
We have not even known about this situation for 24 hours, so we're still honestly processing.
Dr. Myers?
Yes.
You had mentioned that this has taken you and the school district by surprise.
Yes.
But have there been any visits to the home, any red flags that occur to you now over the past couple of months with that family?
Not that I'm aware of, but I haven't had direct contact. And again, we're still, as law enforcement is reviewing information, we're doing the same thing to see what exactly has been going on.
Does the brother attend Concord as well?
He does. We'll have services for everyone who has been impacted, because this doesn't just impact our students, Carlette. This impacts our staff, our families. So we're working on really having a well-articulated plan to the different stakeholders who are impacted by this.
Is the brother still with the family?
The brother was with the grandmother last night and was going to stay with the grandma, and we took them to secure housing at a different location, obviously.
Yeah, I know at arraignment that the judge did issue an order of protection so that the defendant would have no contact with the two males and the 10-year-old.
Sheriff, was she employed? Was he employed at the time?
Yeah, she was employed at one time in Buffalo. We're trying to figure out exactly where, and it looks like she may have left that and did some temporary employment. So, again, that's very confusing. We're just trying to put those pieces together as we speak. So she did have some employment history. One was in Buffalo, and the other one looks like maybe local and self-employed. But, you know, those are the things we're trying to piece together.
Thank you. Do you think she was working up till yesterday?
I couldn't tell you. In fact, that she was in the hospital for the last couple of weeks, I don't know what her status of her employment was.
Do you know how long the family's been in Brockport?
I do not. I'm sorry.
You mentioned her demeanor when Debbie just was first responding. What was she like after she was taken into custody?
I don't want to get into too much detail for the district attorneys, she was taken into custody. We did have to use force, as I described, and she was detained and brought down here to the public safety building where she was processed through the system, and I don't want to interfere with the prosecution in the future, so we'll leave it at that, if you don't mind.
And when do you think the young boy was actually killed?
The call came in, I believe, at 8:19. It's going to be hard to say exactly when, but I believe the incident unfolded before the first 911 call came in, and that precipitated the interactions in the house, precipitated people to call 911. So,
but had you been deceased for a long time?
Oh, no, I believe within minutes, you know, if not, you know, 10 minutes.
But did that call indicate that he had been stabbed?
No, there was no indications of that. It was a suicidal female call armed with a knife. There's further details on the job cards, but I don't quite recall those. Mike, if you have any.
The third phone call indicated that someone had been injured. Okay. So that was the first indication that the deputies had of an injury inside the home. And that caused them to look further once she was in custody and they came upon the child.
So the first call...
The first call was for a suicidal female armed with a knife. The second call was exactly similar, please hurry up. And then the third call was made from the mother-in-law, which indicated that someone had been injured.
And do we know the timing of all three of those calls?
They were within minutes, very close together.
Chair, prior to the fifth, did you ever had any contact with defendant? Have you ever arrested her?
No, I don't know if we arrested her. We've been to the house before. It was quite a duration of time in between, early in 2017, I think we've been in the house. Those job cards are still waiting to be looked at and analyzed to see what we exactly did. But there wasn't a whole lot of activity before early 2017 for police responses.
Was anyone else in the home injured besides Abraham?
No, the suspect was. The defendant was transported to the hospital just because of the taser deployment, but that was the extent of her injuries, just from the taser deployment.
Two more questions? Just your overall, I mean, it's a pretty horrific crime that impacts a ton of people, your deputy as well as the school district, the family, and just really unfortunate. Just your thoughts overall about it.
Well, these are the days you go home as a law enforcement officer. You grab your loved ones and you give them a big hug. And you appreciate what you have as a family. You appreciate what you have as stability in your home. You appreciate just life. And there's no explanation, like I said earlier, there's no way you can reconcile these things in your head. Whatever side you're on of this story, there's just no explanation. So, you know, this is a tragedy. This is what occurs sometimes in our world. We are human beings, and sometimes we create horrific scenarios for us to have to live through and process, and this is one of them. I don't think you'll ever be able to put words on an explanation of what occurred last night. None of us could. If you just put the relationship of the suspect and the victim together, there's no explanation for it.
The last question. You mentioned the 10-year-old is with his grandmother. Where's the father?
I'm not too sure. Again, last night when we were done with our interviews, we made sure they had safe, secure housing, and where the exit ended up, I couldn't tell you.
They
have been reunited.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.